All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball today. And joining us, one of the best national baseball writers. He was part of USA Today. We love having him on as we go through the season together, and that is Paul White. Paul, how are you today?
Doing great, Marty.
Yeah, we're getting there, May 15th. You know, 38 games down. We're not really at Memorial Day yet. I know we'd like to have you on Memorial Day as one of our markers. But things are starting to take shape a little bit. Some teams are starting to get it together, and some you got to worry about a little bit. So I love having you on. Let's talk about the Giants, first of all. You know, I was looking at some of the analytical predictions from before the season. And isn't it something? 70 and 92? 72 wins? Look, and there's a long way to go. We know the June swoon, and there's a million things that could happen on this cattle drive ahead of us. But the Giants have really, really exceeded expectations. They are a tough team to beat.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, their starting pitching has been the best in the National League, clearly. And you could argue maybe up there with the White Sox, the best in baseball at this point. The long season is going to be the interesting part of this. Every team is trying their own version of how do we take care of our pitchers coming off the short season last year. What about the workload? How's that going to affect guys? And I think it's particularly important for the Giants. I mean, with the exception of Webb right now, every guy in that rotation is 30 and up, and they all have injury histories, in there somewhere. So does that take its toll at some point? Can these guys pitch 160, 180 innings this year? And if they can't, where's the relief? You know, and I don't mean the bullpen. I mean the guys who step in and fill out the rotation. And I think that's got to be the one big fear. Because, you know, last year we saw some great surprises. The Marlins were a fabulous surprise. I'll argue that if we played 162, the Marlins wouldn't have been close to the playoffs. They had a bunch of kids. They would have worn down over the long season. It would have been a nice growing year. They wouldn't have gotten there. And, you know, so we don't know how that's going to affect this year either.
Boy, it's going to be something. You know, I was thinking about July 31st and the trade deadline. And, of course, you know, the Giants had so many players with expiring contracts and pitchers on one-year deals. And truthfully, you know, I don't see a long losing streak unless there's injuries that really knock them back. The way they play the game, I just think they're going to be in it. I don't see them moving any of these players, even though they probably would have a market for them.
Yeah, and that's going to be the dilemma because the guys you would have the market for are these starting pitchers. I mean, going into the season, I mean, I don't think the front office will ever admit this, but a lot of the reasons they brought in some of the guys they did was, at the very least, we kind of get them going. They're veterans. They know what they're doing. If they pitch well, going to be a great market for them down the stretch. We can get some guys. If that's what's carrying the team, that's kind of difficult. I mean, think back 2 years, and the Giants played well in the first half of the season, and, you know, people were starting to get excited and think about hanging in the race, and then it starts to fade in the second half, and this year's probably a more significant year for that, just like you mentioned, because you've got so many guys that you could deal at the deadline. And what if you're five games out on July 31st? You know, that's a tough call. What do you tell them, the fans? You know, how do you – deep down you may know, you know, the best thing for us is to move these guys and load up on young talent. That's going to be a tough sell.
Fans are slow to come back right now. Now, it is May. School used to be the issue. Is school out yet? Is it summer vacation yet? And things are loosening up. The CDC has put out new guidelines this week that hopefully healthy and we can live by them and be safe. But the crowds, it's interesting. And you're in Buffalo, and I was thinking of the movie The Natural, and they would show the crowds of, you know, sparse people all over the stadium. And now I look at the crowds at many of these games, 3,000, 5,000, 6,000. It looks like, you know, the old International League when I grew up in Miami.
Yeah, actually, you mentioned Miami. I was watching a game, a Marlins game the other night, and thought to myself, looking at the crowd, okay, have they lifted the restrictions or not? Can't tell them there. You know? But yeah, I was actually at a minor league game the other night. I was watching the Indians and Tigers farm team, double-A teams, down in Erie, Pennsylvania. And it's kind of interesting. You sit in there and you hear the fans. they're kind of tiptoeing in, and I think this goes for everywhere else. There's some fanatics that just can't wait to get back in the ballpark, but a lot of people are being careful, and I see a lot of teams now are taking the step that they are segregating sections. There is now a vaccinated section with no restrictions, mm-hmm. and then there's a non-vaccinated section, which will still have the social distancing. You know, and I think people are, I think we see this everywhere in life right now. We see it in restaurants. We see it everywhere out in public. People are just being kind of careful. I mean, I'm vaccinated. I feel safe, but out of respect to other people, you're taking all sorts of precautions. I just think it's going to be a little slow process. Now, if your team in your town is in the heat of the race and it's August, I got a feeling those things are going to change in a hurry.
Well, that's what I think. I think we're due for a terrific pennant race. I really, there's not a lot of separation, and I don't see any teams running away with anything, to tell you the truth. So I think the natural excitement of baseball is going to take over the summer, and you're going to see those crowds come back up. But right now, it is very tentative the way you explain it. So that's what's going on. Let's look a little bit at the East, because the Mets, I mean, you're there. You're in New York. Are they that good? I mean, DeGrom is hurt, but they seem to be winning all the time now. They blew one 3-2 last night.
Right, and they're struggling today a little bit, trying to fill out the rotation. But
yeah, where are they at?
They're at Tampa. They're down 6-5 in the late innings. You know, so they had Joey Lucchese in there trying to pitch as a bulk guy today, and he only lasted an inning plus. He was the second guy in. I think that division, the Mets are good. I think they're good enough to be a playoff team if they're healthy. But it's going to be difficult. That division, so much is going to depend on the health of the pitching. I mean, you know, DeGrom, okay, it's not an arm issue. That's huge. It's a strain in his side, tightness. They're being kind of vague. He hasn't really thrown any live BP yet, but they're thinking only a couple of starts. Okay, so they've got to have him, or they're just not a legit contender. Washington's got Steven Strasburg pitching a rehab start in AAA tomorrow. They've got to have him back to fill out their rotation. I mean, they're tied, they're technically in last place. I mean, they're only four games out. Atlanta, I don't know what to make of that. Can they hit enough to overcome all the pitching losses? Now it looks like Mike Soroka might miss half or more of the season with that Achilles problem popping up again. They've got a lot of young, great young arms, but they're going to have to really rely on them and hope that that offense carries them. I don't think there's a team that in that division that feels real confident about where they stand right now. And, if you watch the Mets telecast, I mean, it's a great team with Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling, and they're really fair. They really analyze that team. And you can tell they're worried about that team. They don't 100% believe in them, like, we can go off and win this division by 8 or 10 games. I don't know that they'll hit enough consistently, and that's why they've got to have DeGrom in a real strong rotation.
Well, I think three playoff teams are coming out of the West. I think the Giants, the Padres, and the Dodgers are noticeably better than everybody else, and concede a winner in the Central, St. Louis, concede a winner in the East, whoever it may be. But I think the three teams in the West are going to have enough wins. Those will be the three playoff teams. Now, we're still about 10 days away from Washington, 19-31. And 19-31 for the Nationals, and then they won the World Series. So we're still 10 days away from that. But my thought is, Paul, three teams from the West are going to be in this playoff.
You know, I know that's what it looks like right now. I don't know which way it's going to turn, but if I was a wagering man, I'd say the odds are that won't be the case. Okay. Something will turn. I think we can see two coming out of the East. And I think I love what the Giants are doing. I think it's just going to be really difficult to maintain this over 162. They're going to have the best year of health that you can imagine to hang in this thing. Now, the longer they go, the more they believe. And then what do you do the opposite way at the deadline? What if you are at it? What if you're neck and neck with the Dodgers and the Padres, not only for the division, but maybe a team from another division for that wild card spot? You know, you're supposed to be going younger and younger. You're going to go out and buy? That's going to be real interesting. That'll be fun.
Well, you go and get Marwin Gonzalez or someone like him. You know, to back you to play three positions, who's a veteran, because they're going to need another hitter, and then maybe another bullpen guy.
Unfortunately, the Boston was the team that went out and took all the Kiki Hernandezes and all the super utility guys, and they, next to the Giants, they're probably the biggest surprise in the American League. You know, I mean, the fact that they've run off and jumped in front in that division, I mean, that's another. People in Boston thought, we'll be lucky for 500 this year. And, you know, I don't know if they have the pitching to stay in there unless Chris Sale comes riding in on the white horse about the 1st of August. But they can certainly hit their way through it, so they're going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, they look soft to me. Yeah, they look soft.
I agree.
I'll tell you another team that you're close to is Toronto. And I think Toronto's got pitching. And I think as the 162 plays out, they've got some depth. I think Toronto is a team, this is one of those teams that could just sort of hang around and all of a sudden the last 60 games take care of business.
And people talk about that division. I think that division's overrated right now. I think the Yankees are going to have to really struggle their way through this year. They've got all kinds of issues. They don't have the depth in the rotation. Gerrit Cole's the only guy they can be 100% sure of every time through the rotation. I mean, maybe they get Severino back for the second half, maybe. Stanton's hurt again. Those guys are in and out of the lineup. I think they're going to have to battle to get a playoff spot. This is Tampa Bay's, like every 3 or 4 years, Tampa Bay backsteps, like a half step to see, can we kind of retool and move some guys? You know, they left Morton and Snell go in the offseason, and they're trying to retool, and they're hanging in there, but they're not as strong as they were last year. So, yeah, I mean, Toronto's young, and when you look at a young team, you look at teams that should get better as they go on, and they've got all those young offensive players. Guerrero's just fabulous. He's in great shape this year. And they've got great young pitching coming. Nate Pearson's had a couple of starts. He's kind of feeling his way into the major leagues. They haven't been that impressive yet. Another kid named Alek Manoah, who should be up in the next month probably, that they just love. If they get that and start to fill out that rotation, you're right. I mean, they could be the Cinderella this year.
Yep, I think they are. And I think you're right about Tampa Bay. They're not the same team. All right, Paul White joins us, and as you could tell, we love talking all sorts of baseball with Paul. Giants lineup is out today. Now they face a lefty, so the bells went off today. So the computer says Slater leading off, then Ruff, then Longoria, then Flores, obviously all right-handed hitters, then Crawford, then Dubon, then Casilli, no Posey today, then Talkman, left-handed hitter, then Cueto. So two lefties of the eight and six righties. So that is Giants baseball, and it's been working. So that's the lineup today. Paul,
their roster's built for that. They built the roster for it, and you know,
right.
And it works.
Well, it's not rocket science, as they like to say. it really isn't. It's finding the players to do it.
Right.
And that's what Farhan has, the uncanny ability to do it. Yeah, that's what.
If you look, and I know we talked about this before the season started. If you look at the Giants roster, beyond the veteran guys who've been there, Belton, Posey, Crawford, if you look at the guys they've brought in as sort of the bit pieces, every one of those guys, somewhere in their past, in somebody else's system, people were saying, hey, you know, that guy's got a chance. He's an interesting prospect. When you look at Dickerson, I know he's out right now. You know, Talkman was a guy that nobody in Colorado paid attention to until Brian Cashman went and brought him into New York, and people realized, hey, this guy can play. Slater's that kind of guy. None of them are 150-game-a-year players, but they've all got skills that made them – interesting prospects over the years. And yeah, you go in, you know. I remember Tampa Bay when they started to build teams like that. They used to bring guys in at the start of every season, and they said, here's who we think you are. Here's how we're going to use you. Here's what you can expect. Now, you can prove us wrong and get more time, but this is what we think you are, and this is, you know, don't expect to be used this way. And guys, you know, sure, they want to play every day, but if they understand where management's coming from and what the expectations are, it works great.
Yeah, yeah, and they found it. Look at Ruff. You know, he's hitting about 205, and his on base is 390. Because he, you know, takes walks and he can hit left-handed pitching pretty well. So, yeah, as I say, it's Rachel, the elevator operator at the ballpark, would say, it's not rocket surgery. it really isn't.
Yeah.
We miss Rachel. Last thing from me, and then Bill absolutely jump in here and talk with you. But under the radar, yesterday, the Players Association filed a grievance against the owners, and it's probably, you know, for leverage with the negotiation coming up, that last year they didn't, that the owners didn't bargain in good faith, and they should have had a season, excuse me, they should have had a season longer than 60 games. So to me, that's just a bargaining chip.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, when Susie started to say it, my first reaction was, yep, guess the contract's coming up, you know. And those are all those pieces, because there's a lot of things that have sort of been, I'm not going to say forced down the players' throats. They had the good sense to accept a lot of changes that really needed to be made, at least in short term, to get baseball through last year especially and into this season. But the timing is such that now MLB is going to use a lot of those things and say, see, this is what we want. This is the status quo. That's why this year there's so many of those experimental things going on in the minor leagues, you know, potential rule changes, et cetera. There's going to be just an immense amount of trading back and forth in the negotiations. Oh, well, yeah, we'll give you your seven-inning doubleheaders, but you're going to give us this. And, I have no concept what baseball is going to look like when this deal is done. Hopefully it just gets done. But I think there's going to be a lot of changes.
Well, there'll be a DH, I'll tell you that.
I think you're right.
I'll guarantee you that one. Bill, jump in here. Bill,
yeah, I do. Hey, Paul, thanks for joining us. You know, when I look at team batting averages, and I was looking at this while you guys were discussing a little bit, two teams sitting over 260, and that's Houston and Boston.
Right.
23 teams are hitting under 250, and there's a huge jump from 250 to 240, and then 240, there's tons of teams, 220, 230. What has happened with team batting averages?
Nobody's held accountable for hitting 240, is what it comes down to. You're not held accountable necessarily in the minor leagues. If your launch angle's good, if your velocity off the bat is good, they look and say, okay, you're fine, you're doing that. And if you're hitting into the shift, which is probably taken, you know, for guys who have no interest in going the other direction and again, aren't being penalized by their own organizations for not doing so, then, you know, your batting average is going to go down 10, 15, 20 points easily by hitting into the shift. And that's, you know, the answer. Oh, launch angle, hit over the shift. So there's no accountability for hitting 230 anymore.
Home runs and strikeouts. Mm-hmm. Strikeouts
three
are unbelievable.
True outcomes. Yep.
Yeah, I think, Bill, what was it, 17 for the Giants last night for their pitchers, and I think a dozen for Pittsburgh. I think we had 29 strikeouts in the game. And as Maka said earlier, and we've talked to everyone who's part of baseball, you included, Bill, what Brian Reynolds did last night and what Frazier did was take a pitch that's off the plate and flip it to left field for a single, get a pitch and say to yourself, you're taking it to right field, and make sure you do that. People don't do that anymore. They just don't do it.
You talk about batting average. It's how DJ LeMahieu wins batting titles. He goes up there right-handed in Yankee Stadium and flips the ball to right and right center, hits 350. And every once in a while he gets under it and drops it in the right field porch in Yankee Stadium and gets his OPS up a little bit. But there aren't any of those guys. And who, outside of New York, who's talking about DJ LeMahieu? Everybody's talking about somebody that hit the ball 440 feet and the exit velocity was 115 miles an hour. you know, and that's, you know, it used to be, you know, chicks love the long ball. Now they love launch angle.
Well, one of the things, too, gentlemen, is making contact. These guys aren't even going up there to try to make contact. And you talk about yesterday's game. That's exactly what they did in the ninth inning. It wasn't even, I'm trying to make contact on Gausman. He's punched out 12 guys the third time they're around. They made adjustments, and that's how they scored that run in the ninth inning. And sure enough, the triple in the 11th wins it, but they just don't do that. The leadoff hitter's supposed to do that. The second batter's supposed to go opposite way. That's how I learned how to play baseball. That's how I faced hitters. It was different yesterday, but that's what the Pirates did in the ninth inning, and it ended up winning the game for them.
You know, and you can sell that if you're Pittsburgh's management. You know, you talked about the Giants putting together a roster that fits the way they want to play and the way they want to assemble a lineup every night. Well, if you're in Pittsburgh and you know you've got, you know, one of the weaker teams in all of baseball, you can sell to your guys, look, guys, we got to do it a little different. We got to show people that we aren't the, you know, the dregs of the league, and here's how we do it. And you go out and you find those guys, because they don't have more than a couple guys that can hit the ball over the wall, and they know it, and the guys in that clubhouse know it. So Adam Frazier used to be a part-time player. Well, he made himself into a full-time player in a place like Pittsburgh. Probably wouldn't have gotten a chance a lot of other places, but he'll go out and do that, and he's glad to, because that's why he stays in the major leagues, and that's how they fill out their roster. And you know what? Those guys don't cost much either in this environment. So if you're a low budget team, that's how you go out and you assemble your team. But again, it's a tough sell anywhere else in a big market on a team that thinks they're a contender.
Well, if you don't hit the ball over the fence, Bill, I'll tell you this. You better move your runner from second to third with less than two outs, and you better get a runner in from third with less than two outs. And the Pirates didn't do a great job of that, and neither did the Giants yesterday. So, to me, that's the part of the game that if you're not hitting a home run, you better figure out a way to hit and play intelligent baseball. And,
you know, Marty, the one thing the extra inning rule has done is brought us back a little of that,
yep,
because
a little bit.
Now the most important play in extra innings is the first batter. Can you get that runner at least to third? Because that changes the dynamic of the extra inning immediately. If you try to hit one out and you hit a routine fly ball to center, now it's runner in second, one out, not a big deal. But if it's runner on third, even if there's an out, everything changes.
Mm. Yeah. Boy, great to have you on, Paul. A pleasure. So we got our Memorial Day coming up, so stay by the phone.
I'll be around.
that's our first marker, but it's great to go through the season with you. Thank you again. Thanks so much, Paul.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right. That's Paul White. Boy, I love talking ball with him. Bill, you know, we could just start going around the league, and this is what the talk show is all. This is talking baseball.
100%, and some of the things that he brings up and you and I expand off of, it just continues to just keep building. And I liked his thought about the extra innings. That does make a difference, that first hitter. It really does, and how that whole inning translates. And just like last night, it's different when the home team, when the visiting team doesn't score and the home team now has to get him over. Even though the guy tried to bunt and couldn't get it, he still got the ground ball to second base and it ended up getting a runner over. But Rogers was awesome that inning and he left him there. But it is different once it gets into that extra inning.
Yeah, Defoe got the ground ball and he couldn't lay the bunt down. But your guy Perez, runner on third, and you know, all he had to do was hit the ball somewhere, and the game is over, and he struck out.
Yeah,
you know?
Young kid, but boy, I really like him as a catcher.
I know you like him.
He really is.
Like
got
him.
A good arm.
What do you have coming up next?
Well, coming up is Tyler Beede. I got to talk to him a little bit in Oklahoma City, and a short interview, but just enough to get the fans kind of understanding where he is in his rehab. He's throwing twice. He's going to throw again tonight, I do believe. But just to see how he's doing, how his arm's coming around, Marty, and how the feel is with that new elbow since he had Tommy John surgery.
You think we'll see him this year?
I do. I think you're going to see him come into bullpen. I think that's where he's going to fall into. I don't know about length. He's only thrown 40 pitches so far. He's up to 55 today. They're doing about a dozen, maybe 15 pitches a little more each time. But he says his velocity's coming back. The breaking ball's starting to be crisp. And he's excited, as we know Tyler Beede is.
Oh, good. I look forward to hearing from him. Okay, good job. All right, more coming up on KMBR 680, 104.5, The Sports Leader.